you for God's word today. I ain't going to keep you long. I want to just blast something into your spirit today by the grace of Jesus Christ. Close your eyes right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, speak to me by your word, Lord. Let your banner be raised and your glory be seen in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Please take your seats. And if you have your Bible with you, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to break into some scripture today. Praise the living God. Someone lost a ring during the baby dedication there. There was a piece of gold manifested on the platform. So if that's yours and you know you've lost it, come and see me. You can describe it. And by God's grace, we'll give it to you if you are able to describe it accurately. And Joel, before you think of it, it won't fit your finger, bruv, okay? Okay. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number 14. Hebrews 4, 14. What an awesome God we serve. Wow. Wow. Seeing then, you could stop there and preach on seeing. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, do you see? Do you see? The ability to see is one of the greatest things that God has given us. Do you see? And you know, even blind people can see the way that God wants us to see. You think about it. Stevie Wonder, one of the greatest songwriters who ever lived, has never seen a thing in his life. And the poetry he comes out is so graphic and so awesome. Why? Because he can see in a way that most of us can't. Wow. We queue up to buy his records in droves. Wow, Songs in the Key of Life. Anyone remember that album? Banger. Absolute banger. Wow. Ba-ba-da-da-da-da. I wish I could. Oh, my goodness me. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Pastor P, I can't see how God is. Okay, let's rewind the tape. Seeing then. See in the name of Jesus. That the title of my message, guys, in the sound box is First. That's it. First. F-I-R-S-T. First. Not like when you're thirsty in Stevenage. First. F-I-R-S-T. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Seeing then. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, see in the name of Jesus. I can't see how we're going to get that promotion. I can't see how we're going to pay our bills. I can't see how that prophetic word over my business startup is going to come to fruition. I can't see. Well, see in Jesus' name. God is bigger than your ability to be blind, so catch up and see in Jesus' mighty name. There's something about the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is God. Good. God wants us to see. There's something about seeing that causes our transformation. I couldn't see it, but now I can see it. Wow, I can see this, I can see that, I can see the other. God wants us to see. May your eyes be opened in the mighty name of Jesus. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, I talked about what it is to be a professional earlier on in the meetings we've had here. You know, being a profession is something not only that you do, but it is something that you say and that you talk about doing. And God wants us to be professionals at his word. He wants us to be word professionals. We need to be sowers by profession. The Bible says the sower sows the word. So we have to be sowers of the word of God. It's really, really important that if we want to achieve what God has for us to achieve, that we have to do it his way. So seeing, saying, and doing are all three constituent parts of our success in Christ. Can you say amen? Okay, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. I was preparing for my message yesterday. Yesterday evening, we had Tim and Sarah over at the house. It was a lovely time. And I was feeling tired in the afternoon. I'd woken up early after the half night and everything like that. And I kind of was just, you know, I went upstairs to study, but instead I ended up sleeping. So I had my Bible on my chest and I was like sitting cross-legged on my bed. And the next thing, boom, I was gone. But as I was gone, how many of you know God can prepare you to minister his word even in your sleep? This God we serve. And sometimes, you know, when your natural mind and your thinking and the of the day, do you know what I mean by the turbines of the day still going? When I conked out, I had a dream. And I saw God wanting us to come first. Like that, whatever field we're in, there is something, you think across this whole congregation, there is something that every single one in this room can come first at. There's some achievement. There's some achievement. We serve a can-do God. You know, can't isn't in, I don't know, I don't think you can find it in the Bible. It just doesn't fit God. There's only three things he can't do. He can't lie. He can't change his word. And he, I can't even remember the third one. But there's so little that God can't do. He can't fail. Thank you, honey. I knew one of us was a well-done scholar. Hey, preacher man. And as I saw this thing, I saw, how many of you have ever heard of what they call the glass ceiling, right? That there are certain things that you can, like, there are certain boundaries that people find it difficult to cross. You know, this far shall you go and no further. There's something set that you bang your head against it continually. I know when Mrs. Clinton in America was wanting to become president, that she was, you know, she talked a lot about breaking the glass ceiling because all the people who had been her predecessors had been men. And there's something about breaking through and coming first that God really likes. There's something in his nature that manifests when we commit ourselves to coming first. I loved what Terry Savelle Foy said a few weeks ago when she was ministering here. She said that if you want to earn a good paycheck, she said, work hard. But if you want to excel in life, you've got to work hard on yourself. Isn't that so true? You think of it, everyone here who's achieved something in this room has worked hard on themselves firstly. I remember I saw the struggle, and I love this testimony of Brother Terry. I saw the struggle in his life. Because it's like, you know, when there's something in you that you know God's called you to greatness, you know he's called you to achievement, but there's like so little happening. And it's like, oh, like it's like the pangs of childbirth. You know, some of you in the music business or in medicine or in whatever field it is, you know, there's ceilings, there's glass ceilings all the way through that somehow you have to like break, but you don't even know sometimes how to break them. Once you get that thing and you know that God's got something for you, it's like, wow, how do I break this glass ceiling? And this is what the Lord showed me in the Spirit yesterday as I was studying. Somebody has gone before you and broken every glass ceiling that there is. Our predecessor, our forerunner, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, has passed into the heavens. In other words, every ceiling that could have stood in the way has already been broken in Christ. If you are not clapping, you are a suspect. Praise God. I started to look back over my life and I saw all the glass ceilings that I'd broken through. Just and not realizing that what I was doing was breaking through. Sometimes God has you that way so that something becomes part of your nature. And then when he reveals it to you, you look back and you think, oh, that's what I was doing. I don't know anyone with my postcode, with my background, hey, that has achieved very much. I just don't know. There may be one or two, I don't know. I had 102 friends. I counted them one night. 100 of them had criminal records. It was me and one other guy who didn't have criminal records. And that's because I could run fast and I knew where to hide. Hallelujah to Jesus. The blood has dealt with my... In Jesus' name. So nudge your neighbor and ask them, what's your excuse? Yes. There's something to achieve. There's something to achieve. There's some greatness. You see, if Christ is truly in us, what's Christ? It's the seed of greatness. I can do what? All things through Christ. So if Christ is in us, then through him, we can do all things. There is a magnetism for achievement that is automatically in us because Christ is already in us. There's something pulling us to our forerunner, and our forerunner has passed through the heavens. And then I started to think, wow, I said, God, you have caused us. God wants us to be first. There's something about, you see, in scripture, in the natural, in the old covenant, it was all about the firstborn. All the promises in Moses about the firstborn, you know, the firstborn child you shall dedicate to the Lord, the firstborn of the cattle and of the sheep and everything like that. God was always talking about the firstborn. But then there's something prophetically happens in the Bible that every time there's a firstborn versus secondborn thing, God crosses his hands. So Ishmael was the firstborn, but the blessing was on Isaac, right? Esau was the firstborn, but the blessing was on Jacob. You remember Joseph, the son, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was the firstborn, but the blessing went on Ephraim. So there's something about God in the spirit that, you see, what he's talking about is not the natural firstborn. It's the spiritual firstborn. And Christ is the firstborn from the dead. That's what the Bible calls him. He is the firstborn among many brethren. And so if we're in Christ, we're the firstborn too. Hallelujah. 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 This is can-do Christianity, folks. Can't is a four-letter word.
Amen.
Amen. Say it again, Pastor P. Can't is a four-letter word. Strike it out of our vocabulary and get can do. Then it's just a matter of how. And then most people say, well, I can't see how. See in the name of Jesus. Shut your eyes until you can see. Praise God Almighty. I was just thinking, you know, there's something about the can-do nature of Christ. That when you release it into your life, really nothing can stop you. Really, that's the truth. Absolutely nothing can stop you. And I just wrote my notes here, if you can see that. Which camera are you on or at the moment? Do you know? Which one is on? Which one? Okay, Dave, here's my notes. Look, that's my notes for today's message. It says first, and then there's three people's names on the thing. And this is all that I... But you know what? It's enough. I want to tell you the story about one of the firsts here we've got in the house, Amy Lou. Stand up, Amy Lou. She's just finished her degree. She is a household favorite. You know that song? Oh, oh, oh. You make my heart sing. That was Amy Lou wrote that. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Praise God. That's the first. But she didn't stop there. She went for a job interview at JP Morgan. You know the investment bank, JP Morgan? And she was there in the interview. And they said to her, they said, you're a bit of an anomaly in this thing. They said, most people who are coming for interview with us, you know, they're from economics background, maths background, science background, but your degree, business background, but your degree is in geography. What are you doing at JP Morgan? And this came out of her mouth. And this is what can do Christianity causes. It just, boom, something comes out of you that it's like, wow, that was clever. And you just kind of sit there soaking up the cleverness of what you just said. You know, I've been there. I've done it so many times when I work for the bank myself. And she said this. She said, well, all you guys are from a similar background. She said, you need diversity in what you're involved in. You need a bit of different to think differently. If everyone in that boardroom is thinking the same, you can end up in a lot of trouble. You need a bit of... They said, dude, you got the job, honey. You got the job. Yeah! Boom! Hallelujah! Oh, here's another first. I wish... I don't know if he goes to church or not, but Ian Wright, if you ever watch this message... I just doing that reminded me. Anyone heard the life story of Ian Wright? Wow. I mean, you talk like a mirror of Kirk Franklin and the way he was pushing through. Nobody was answering. He thought that his days of becoming a professional footballer were over. He thought it was just over for him. In fact, a friend of mine who worked at Lloyds Bank used to play against him because he lived in Southeast London. And Ian Wright used to play for a group called 10MB. Which stood for 10 mean brothers. Now, a football team is 11. But, in other words, it's our operation that one of us will get sent off. And 10 mean brothers will whip you, rather than 11. Isn't that good? Just like the outlook on that thing. And a guy called Steve Coppell, a manager called Steve Coppell from Crystal Palace, saw the potential in this guy playing in the amateur leagues. And literally, at the last opportunity, gave him a contract at Crystal Palace. And of course, the rest is history. Praise God for that. And there's something so wonderful can do about such people. And the world gravitates towards them. I don't know if you've noticed, but dude, the world needs heroes. Yes. There's a hero space. You think about this right now, right? Next time you're in your prayer time, just shut your eyes and see a podium with your name written on it, and you standing up and receiving an achievement award for something. There's something there for you. There's something. Turn to your neighbor and tell them there's room at the top for you. Hallelujah to Jesus. I said to my wife when I was preparing this one, I said, look, honey, I don't need much time because I don't need to... say much, but now I'm up here, I'm so loaded with this candy. So may God unload the thing on you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. A second first in harvest. Are you ready for this one? This one makes me just rejoice in the Lord, right? Now, one of the things that we train people in harvest is that it doesn't matter how high you get in life, that you should never be too high or too proud to serve. Whether that's the ushering team, whether it's the counting team, whether it's the catering team, the linking lives, the cleaning team, the technical team, the car parkers, the music team, the worship band, and all kind. I mean, there's a team for every, the children's ministry. There's something, there's a point of contact for you in the house that God can use and raise you up. Because that's what he's looking for. God is an asymmetric blesser. You're saying, Father, Lord, I want to achieve something great. He'll say, okay, do this. And what he's called you to do has got nothing to do with what you've prayed for, but it's the point of contact. That's exactly what it is. That's how God moves and works in this house. He's an asymmetric blesser. So one of the guys in Harvest who is a notable gynecologist, Harley Street practice, private practice. He's head of obs and gynae over at one of the big hospitals in London. Now, listen to this. I got a text last week. And, you know, one of the things I love to wait for is the Lord to, like, when to push the testimony, when to inject the testimony into the people. Listen to this. He says, He says, to the glory of God, I have become. Now, this guy is on the counting team. So he's opening envelopes, counting money, and blah, 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 you know, writing out all the gift aid stuff, I don't know, whatever they do in the thing. Now, listen to this. He said, to the glory of God, I am the first black council member of the British Society of Gynecological Endoscopists, the national gynecological group that oversees the propagation of keyhole surgery in the UK. First in history. First in history. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, glass ceiling. What glass ceiling? You see, we already have the high priest who has passed through the heavens. So every glass ceiling has been broken in Jesus' name. Every glass ceiling. Every glass ceiling. You see, all you've got to find is the key to unlock the thing. And can't see Christianity ain't going to be where you're going to get it. I can see in the name of Jesus, and I will see. I will see what God has given me. I will see it in Jesus' name. What are you doing? You're engaging your will. I will to see it in Jesus' mighty name. The way that God crisscrosses things in the realm of the Spirit to me is marvelous. You know, the Bible says how unfathomable are his ways. You know what unfathomable means? It's like it's so deep. You cannot see the depth of this thing. You cannot fathom it. You cannot, like, it's so deep. It becomes a mystery. I remember when we were in this Spanish island off the coast of Alicante in Spain called Tabarca. And you have to get there by boat. It's like a UNESCO site, etc., marine heritage site. And the port there is so deep. We had some sandwiches left over, so we were throwing bread into the thing. And in the end, I think it was Benji threw a donut, a whole donut, classic Benji, into the sea like that. And the next thing, out of the deep, I mean, this place is so deep you couldn't see the bottom. Out of the deep, this giant, I don't know what sort of fish this thing was, but when it came up, all the other fish scattered. Now, you think about it. That fish had been there all the time, but it was so deep, you couldn't fathom it with your eyes. This thing came up, all the fish scattered. He took the donut, whoosh, back down into the deep. And I thought, wow, that's what the Bible means when it says, how unfathomable are his ways. He's got a million ways of causing what's burning in you to be achieved, to be accomplished. Hallelujah to Jesus. I just love it. I just love it. I just love it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, whatever's blocking you, your forerunner has passed through it already. Praise God Almighty. You know, talking about service in the house, this is one of the great things that I love about Harvest. We're never too proud or too mighty or too haughty to serve. That's one of the things. I don't know why, but God has given me a love for the car park. Whenever there's women's events or Heal for Life, Refresher Day or Fixing the Foundations or anything like that, I'll be out there greeting cars and welcoming people. And, you know, there's, oh, hello, what's your name? I say, I'm Paul. Nice to meet you. Blah, blah, blah. And then I come back in and they say, oh, that's the part. Oh, he was the one in the car park. And they're shocked. But to me, it's standard. I like doing that thing. In fact, one time, I have to tell on Mary Mad here. This is so funny. One time, I was wearing my Visi jacket from the car. Because I've got a Visi jacket because I use it to walk my dog. And I've got, like, the lead. I've got treats, gloves, a hat, all that kind of stuff in my yellow Visi jacket. And so I was out in the car park. It had been raining. I'd been sweating. It was kind of clammy in the thing. And I walked into the sound box to make sure that you guys are okay. And Mary Mad had this look on her face as if to say, oof. And I said, Mary Mad, I'm so sorry. I said, does my jacket stink? She said, yes. I said, what does it smell of? Because, you know, she's kind of like French from Congo. I said, what does it smell of? She says, Doug. It was so funny. So I went home and washed it the following day. Hallelujah. Tried spray air freshener on it and everything like that. But you see, we should never be. Here's the thing, right? One of the things I've realized about pride, the Bible says a haughty spirit goes before destruction. So if you have a haughty spirit, God will destroy you. But then it says, and pride before a fall. You see, pride and a haughty spirit are two different things, right? Pride, the kind of fall you suffer from pride, is often the kind of thing that you stumble and then you never get back to where you should have been, right? So what's the opposite? The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives favor to the humble. So humility is a real goal. It's a real target for us. And there's something about humility. There's something about being an usher, right? Now, you imagine you're an usher in the house. You're a successful business person. You're making your way to your million flow or whatever flow you're in, right? And then somebody's coming in and they're just not listening to you. Oh, please, look, please, you know, make sure that you don't sit in any of the roped off seats. We like to fill the first rows first, etc., because it helps other people coming in. They won't disturb you. We've had them, haven't we? We've had them. Now, you're a millionaire, and this hood rat person is coming in, and it's like, you know, there's a certain Nigerian thing that can come upon, so whack, and you have to hold your peace and put your hand under your arm like that and be loving and kind and everything like that. Because, you see, what is that? That's a minor type of humiliation. But it's good for your spirit. It's good for your spirit. It's good for your spirit. Father, for your sake, I'm going to hold my peace and I'm not going to tell that person, particularly the car parkers. How many people have just like completely ignored what the car parkers tell them, park in front of shutters, and then we have to go and announce their number plate on the screen and all watch as they get up and move their car. Yeah. Service. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, find your point of service. Third one here I love. This is a third name. Les Addy. Everyone know Les? As quiet and unassuming a person as could be. Gentle spirit, gentle heart, loves God. Really just, there's certain people, it's like in the spirit, I've adopted him as a son. And I might not say more than five words to him in a year, but he's a son of mine. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Now, Les operates this is a Steadicam thing that Dave is holding. And it's like, you know, after being in that apparatus for about 20 minutes, it gets very heavy and it becomes, you know, it's cumbersome. It's not an easy ministry to carry. You need to be fit and you need to be able to catch a good shot and all that kind of stuff. Now, a lot of people won't realize Les is an analyst at Goldman Sachs, the investment bank. Doesn't need to be doing this. Why does he do it? It's his point of contact for his elevation. So what we've got to do is find our point. Christ has already passed through. So if we don't succeed in life, it's not Christ's fault. Say it again, Pastor P. Glad you asked me to. If we don't succeed in life, it's not Jesus' fault. We have to find our point of conduct. What's my point of service? What's my point? For some people, you see, you look at the life of Hannah in the temple. For some, it's their life and their sacrifice and devotion to prayer. Because God needs a point of contact that he can draw on to enable that to happen. Right? There's some people like Wofford P in the prayer team. They know who they are. They are prayers. prayers, prayers, prayers. They're pumping that thing all the time. That's their point of contact. There's others, there's musicians. Like, the moment the doors are open, the music worship team are going and flying. For others, there's technical stuff. For others, there's car. It doesn't matter what it is. Find your point of contact and ride through the glass ceiling in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you get something from that today? Praise Jesus. Stand to your feet. We're going to thank God for his word. Close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you so much for the excellent spirit that you have poured out in Christ. Thank you, Lord God, that you already have made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers. So, Father, we give you glory. We give you honor for what you have done already. But, Lord God, we say do more through us. Do more in us and do more with us, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.